Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
Let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at dionysgmskincare.com. That's dionysgmskincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off.
I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls.
Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have another great guest episode for you girls, because it is very important here that we get all your faves on here that I know you girls would love to hear from. And you may know of Elizabeth as the OG winner of Love Island USA season one quite a few years back, but since then, she has built such an amazing brand for herself as a fabulous content creator, and now she's a content creation consultant and mentor, and she recently launched the Content Club, which you girls will hear her talk all about in this episode. It is so cool. And whether you want to just catch up with Elizabeth and hear about her life post Love Island over the last few years, which, by the way, spoiler alert, if you don't know, she's engaged and getting married next year, which, yes, we talk about in this conversation as well. Or whether you want to hear all about her social media takes and opinions, this episode is a good one that you do not want to miss. So let's dive right into it. Okay, everyone, please welcome Elizabeth to For the Girls. I am so excited to have you on. Introduce yourself to the girls and tell them all about you.
Hey, girls. I'm Elizabeth. I'm currently living in Venice, California, but I'm from Michigan, so I'm like a Midwest girly at heart. I'm 30. I'm getting married next year, and I work in social media, and then I also work, I own a content club where I bring girls together to learn how to make money in social media and work with brands.
Amazing. And of course, it would be remiss if I did not mention that you were the season one winner of Love Island. I'm sorry, I know it was a long time ago, but I bring it up because it's Love Island season. Are you watching?
Yeah, of course I'm watching. I've literally never missed an episode. I love it. I even watch a lot of the UK as well. I'm such a Love Island fan. Obviously, it's so fun for me to watch. And yeah, it was 6 years ago, but it's still a crazy experience and something I had so much fun doing. So it's definitely hilarious.
I'm not going to lie. I'm a new... So I used to, back in the day, like I always watched Love Island UK, like yeah. Molly Mae, Tommy, the whole thing. I mean, never forget. But I'm new. I started watching Love Island USA for season six, which I feel like a lot of the viewers now came from last season, season six. I never watched it. And then my mom, she watched, you know what, my mom, I should tell her, because my mom definitely watched your season, because she watched everyone from the USA. And then she was like, you have to watch this season. So my mom got me into watching Love Island US. But now I'm locked in. So I'm watching along with you.
I feel like I even had so many of my friends that kind of watched my season and then like fell off for a bit. But then season six hit and like everyone's back on it. And I love it for the show. Like I always knew it would take off at some point if the producers could get the casting right. And I think that's like what really did it for last season. Like they just had an amazing cast and the timing of like when they would put people in.
Yeah. I can't lie. I'm not in love with this cast. I don't know if you could say that as an alumni, but I'm not.
So what I'll tell new fans watching and like especially you, like, that's what most people are going to think if you're a new fan. Kind of the lay of the show, how it normally works, is you don't love the cast at first. It takes a minute, usually. I get last season was an exception, but it takes a minute for you to start to like love everybody and get to know everyone. And normally the people you don't like at the beginning, you love by the end. And most of the time, and not most of the time, some of the times the people you love at the start, you hate by the end.
Yes.
So it's like funny that you guys will, all the like new fans will start to see how that works.
Yeah.
But don't
yeah.
give up on this cast yet. Like,
no, I won't. But of course, also new people come in, like they shuffle out. So it's like some people leave, some like new people come in. So like, you know, I know we're just, I think last night was episode like 5. We're just getting started. We got a long way to go. Yeah. So I know. No, but it's true. That's a good little pointer there. But I love that. Yes, you were on it. You were the winner of the show and you, you know, have, not to say that you built a platform because of that, but you originally built your platform from having been on Love Island, but you really kind of like, in a sense, like whether you want to say detach yourself or just were really smart and had a lot of integrity about your brand. So you built your own brand like outside of Love Island and outside of just the reality TV world in general. Like I went on your page and I truly, I wouldn't have ever even known that that's, you know, what a lot of your followers knew you from. You know, first of all, your page is insane, like curated to the gods, beautiful, perfect. I love it. But was that your intention? Like, did you like go, cause someone like Molly May, I know she has said like, I went on Love Island to build a platform and to like build a brand and all that. Was that kind of your thing? Or did you really go on there to find love?
So I'll tell you exactly why. So I loved social media from the day Instagram came out. Like in high school, people were like, I was the girl that would upload the major Facebook photo albums from like a party that had like 200 photos in it and just like tag everyone on Facebook. Like I brought the camera, the DSLR camera to the parties. Like that was me. So instantly I loved Instagram. Like I was such a fan back in like early college. Alexis Ren, you know, Tessa Barton, who it's crazy that like I know her now, Amy Song, like all those OG influencers, like I would buy their coffee table books, the Tumblr days, like I wanted that before it was even a thing and before it was really like a full career. I knew I wanted to do something in social media, so I worked really hard towards it in college. Like I would skip spring break and go out to California and plan test shoots for myself. Like, and it was only images at the time. There was no video really. It was all kind of images. So I really leaned into wanting to be an influencer before it was like, I feel like I was like trying to, you know, take that unpaved path, like to try to get there. And then when I graduated, I moved to New York City. I worked for Wendy's sourcing their influencers, which was such a fun job. And then I kind of learned how, you know, the brand side was operating and, you know, how they choose these people for campaigns and how they search for them. And I'm like, ooh, I got to switch some things up on my page and take that inspo and learn, you know, okay, I know that they look for this, or I know that they look for a location in the bio, or like just certain little things. So I was getting more brand deals living in New York at the time. And that was not like a huge thing. So my page quickly grew to around 35,000 followers when I was living in New York. And this was just like influencer stuff pre Love Island. And then that's how I got picked up for the show. They DM'd me and they're like, you should do this. And I was like, my first message back was actually, no, I'm not a fit. And it's funny because like I have that screenshot on my phone from the DM of like me being like, no, I'm literally not a fit for the show. And they're like, no, hear us out. They actually said like it's a free trip to LA to meet the producers. And I was like, oh, great. More test shoots. I can build my like modeling thing. So I go out, you know, not even with the intention that I would go through with the show. Loved the producers. Could tell that they weren't going to just cast me as like the dumb blonde. I was like, I'm not your girl if that's what you're looking for, you know. And they were like, no, hear us out. And so I trusted. I went on it. For honestly, the adventure number one, I at the time hadn't traveled the world like at all. Like the only countries I had been to was like Windsor, Canada and Mexico once. So I was like, wow, a trip to Fiji, like that's incredible. So I was like, number one, adventure. And then I was like, wow, if I find someone and if the show takes off, because it was the first season, there was no guarantee of followers. I actually thought I would go backwards in followers. I thought people were going to be like, what are these weird Love Island posts and start unfollowing me? So like we would laugh under the covers in the villa and be like, oh my God, my following is going backwards. Like we were all cackling under the covers at night in the bed saying like, no one's watching. Our followers are going backwards. So when I came out, it was like really cool to see that like we did get an audience from it, but that was not promised. They also said they could send us home in 2 weeks and, you know, all those things. So I really just went for the adventure and I ended up meeting someone on the show, which was just like a bonus and it was great. But that I was like, I'm not going to find anybody. Like, you know, I like my New York dating pool. Who am I going to really find on Love Island? So it just kind of like all worked out in that way.
Yeah.
And then I was able to take that and I really started to study how people come off of reality TV and the people that are able to like make it, you know, that opportunity into something else and build something out of it. And the ones that just kind of fall off and go back to you know, doing what they did before, which is totally fine. But there really is a huge drop off with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so true. We have so many similarities hearing every single thing that you said. Like, first of all, the Facebook albums, we're the same age. So I'm 30 as well. So like we, you know, we're from that same era. Like we were in high school when Instagram came out. So like totally remember the filters. I'm like, oh, sepia this, sepia, whatever the filters were, like Valencia or something like that. Like I just, like I was so there for that. And then same thing. So I'm from New York, but so I watched, like you said, Ami Song, Ariel Charna, Something Navy, you know, like all the girls like in New York. Like I was like, how can I be these girls? Like they, the inspo, like no one was, you know what? It was that we were doing blogging at the time. I was going to say no one was calling them influencers, but yeah, it's because they were bloggers. So like really OG, I actually had a blog, but you probably did too. I had a blog back in the day because it's like, that's just what you did. And so to see that evolution from like, you know, you just had this inspiration, you saw these girls doing it, and then you're like, okay, taking notes, what could I do? And like, here you are. I mean, yes, of course, you go on Love Island as a genuine person. Like, yeah, I'm not here to like fake anything. I hope that I meet somebody. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, like, this is, it's a tool. And it's what you do with that tool is like going to determine, you know, the results afterwards. And so you were clearly really smart with that. At what point after leaving did you decide to start your content club?
Oh, the content club came recently, actually.
Okay.
A while after I was really leaning into, you know, just focusing on influencer work for myself personally. It wasn't until COVID hit where I was like, wow, brand deals are slow. I'm not getting like paid like I used to, you know, I'm not seeing these huge numbers. And I, you know, I'm a businesswoman. Like I like making my money. Like I like working. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't want to just like sit around. So I found a bunch of girls in my hometown, a few of them. And I was like, let me work with you. Like hire me. I will blow you up as an influencer. Like I feel like I understand how it works. You know, I know like what we can do with your page. Like you have so much potential. Like sit down with me, like let's do this. Mm-hmm. And it worked. And I was shocked, to be honest, that all of them were able to succeed so well. And I was always that person too, that post Love Island, people would come to me, text me, past contestants would, and be like, hey, what do you think of this? What rate should I ask for this? Or like, what should I do for this? Do I need management? Blah, blah, blah. And I loved it. Like, I love being that like cool mentor for people to give you like that real advice of like, no, you're going to want to do this, not this. And I really started leaning into like, okay, this is awesome that I was able to do it for, you know, this many people, but wouldn't it be cool to make it something more accessible for a larger number? So I started the content club and it's been this amazing community that's growing. Like even last night I had more people sign up when I'm sleeping and I get to wake up and I have a Discord, if you know what Discord is, I have it.
Yeah.
Club where it's just all of us like women in it talking about like things we see online, and I'm always posting like brand paid partnership opportunities in there you can apply for, or gifting opportunities you can apply for, and events in your city or whatnot. And then everyone just has this cool, like, everyone supports each other's content online too. It's just like a really cool thing that I didn't really see how it would shake out, but I'm like so happy with like what's going on with it. And I haven't done any like paid advertising with it yet. It's all just been word of mouth of people being like, this is what's been helping my content. Like, this is why my page went from 800 followers to 10K. Like, I've been in this group and this is like what's really helping me. So it's been really cool to see all the positive feedback. Like, it makes me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems amazing. Now, you're saying, okay, you have a Discord, but then you also work privately as a consultant, right? With like girls individually.
Yeah, I have that. Like, if you want more than just what the club offers, I think like if you're just starting out, the club is great. But if you want more and you want to kind of like go more exponential with, you know, becoming an influencer, I have a couple girls that I work with on a consulting phase. Like, we meet once a week for an hour. We talk strategy. And I have some people that have done amazing things. Like, I had a girl that had around like 1500 followers when she came to me. Now she's at like 20K. She's working with all these amazing brands, like almost every single one of her dream brands she wrote on a list we've seen her working with, whether it's like Dior Beauty, Aloe, crazy, like Westman Atelier. Like, she loves luxury beauty brands, Prada Beauty, YSL Beauty. And it's just so crazy because I just know like the advice that I give is working, and yeah. Like, I'm so passionate about it. Like, I love when people succeed because I always wanted that for myself, and I'm sure you did too. Like, mm-hmm. I wish there was someone for us when we were, you know, trying to get into this industry that could have been like a specific like social media mentor, like, this is how you're going to get to like A to B.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. And I feel like there's so many videos on social media nowadays of like, here's how you're gonna, like, strategies. Here's how you're gonna blow up on social media. And then like they give themselves as the example. They're like, look, this is how many followers I had. This is how many followers I have now. And it's like, you're not actually building an audience for you based on your content. You're building an audience because people think that your advice is going to make them go viral. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And it's weird to see it. And I think people are starting to catch on to it, that it's just not it. I also think there's like this horrible stigma behind like the word e-course and like an online course feeling like a scam. And that I hate. So I'm like, never want to use that word, like, because I don't like it, because I'm so hands-on with everything that it doesn't feel like that at all. Like, it truly does feel like a community. And I feel like that's a whole other thing too. But those kind of vibes, like, I just hate it because it's not real. It's not going to actually work. You're not going to actually get anything out of it. And I just like want to really make sure I'm like setting myself apart from that, because mm-hmm. it's just like not who I am and not like what I want out of anybody that like takes their, you know, time and money to try to work with me.
Yeah. You know what? It just reminded me. Yes. Because your wording of like club, like being like in a community, being involved, like it's all about really like that in itself is a testament to your knowledge on branding and marketing. And
yeah.
I used to have something called the Confidence Club. I completely forgot about that. I used to do something similar. It was on Telegram, not Discord, but I had a group of girls and I was like daily coaching and doing like confidence and whatnot. And so I'm love like, it. Wait, I actually used to do the same thing, like not the same thing, but the similar concept. So I'm like, wait, I knew that too. I know. It's all about the wording. So I like that. I like the, how you're taking your knowledge and what you see and like even just seeing what looks gimmicky, what doesn't work. And then you're implementing it into your own work and you're actually watching it succeed. So it's like, no, this is the proof in the pudding. Like, you don't have to do all these crazy strategies.
Totally. Even like in the Discord chat, I had a girl sign up and then instantly wrote in the chat like, oh, I'm skeptical. I'm not sure if this was worth my money. And before I could even pull my car over and try to like come to my own defense, all these club members started writing out like, no, I've been able to do this since, or I've learned so much in this. And I was like, wow, not everyone like backing me up without me even say anything. Like, back to you doing it, like, I'm so happy that you did that, because I feel like women having good mentors in their life is so important. And like, I had such a great mentor growing up, although it was not social media focused. He was still advertising focused. He pushed me to do so many great things that I'm like, I always, you know, want that for other people too, because it really helped the trajectory of my life. And I'm sure you've had good mentors that have helped you get to where you are now. So like, I love that you can kind of like pay it forward and do that for other people.
Yeah, it's so true. Mentorship is really so important. And as a mentor, a consultant, and someone who's just so well-versed in all the social media stuff, what would you say? Tell me two different things. What would be something that you think most aspiring content creators are missing, like something that they really lack? And then on the other end, what would be something that you think aspiring content creators need to add? Like something that, like one thing that they're not doing and one thing that they should start doing.
I think the biggest thing I tell people is like, let's talk about your passions at first, like find the root of what makes you happy and what you like talking about. Because if you're just making videos about what you think other people want to hear, it's not going to come across right. Like the minute you start talking about the things that you love and that you're passionate about, like it's going to come through in your content. So like if you love, you know, making craft cocktails, do that. Don't try to force yourself into being, you know, the like healthy food influencer if that's just not you, right? Like, and it's going to show. Like the minute you're talking about things you actually love, it's going to come across in the content, and then you're going to find your people on there too, and you're going to start building your own online community and audience. It's not going to just be like empty followers because you're posting what you think people want to hear. And I think that's like a step I have to take with a lot of girls, is being like, let's go back to the drawing board and figure out like what you like what are the things that you are all about as a person? And let's talk about, you know, like your dreams, your goals, because they're going to be so different from mine. So I can't just tell you like my strategy for my personal self, because it's not going to be the same for yours.
Right. No, you know what? I think too, that a big part of all of that is that TikTok really changed the game with social media when it comes to like vulnerability and transparency. Yes, there was always long form content on YouTube and there was always photo content on Instagram. Granted, Instagram has broadened, but like for the most part, like
Instagram was super curated, just like, you know, mostly about aesthetics and pretty pictures. And then YouTube was more about like tutorials and like, yeah, I guess they were like lifestyle vloggers and whatnot, but it was a lot of like makeup and hair and just like long form edited sort of content about like how to. TikTok was like that middle ground of like, quite frankly, a mix of everything, you know? And so I think that that created a space for a lot more transparency, a lot more vulnerability, and a lot more of what do you want to do? Like, what do you want to, you know, share out? Like, what do you want your life to really look like? Or at least how do you want to portray it on social media? And I feel like it goes two different ways. There are some people who really believe in niching down and sticking to like one thing. Like I said, back in like the YouTube days, it used to be like, you know, you were either like a hair vlogger or a beauty vlogger, like whatever the case is. But then there's also the people who believe in like just posting everything, you know, sharing all the different facets of their life in their house, cooking, cleaning, beauty, fashion, dating, relationship, like a mix of everything. Where do you stand with like what you think really works today with an app like TikTok or just as a social media personality and brand in general, sticking to one thing, niching down, or like broadening your horizons?
So I think it's like a combo of the two in a way. Like I think niche down in the things that like you want to share, like as specific as you can get it with, you know, what you love, but there's no cap to how many of those need to be. Like, you know, let's say you specifically are obsessed with trying every spicy margarita in every town and rating them. Like that can be its own little niche thing on your page, but that doesn't mean you can't also talk about like bridal fashion, right? Like you can have all, and that's specific to fashion, right? Like I think you can have a bunch of different niches, but like try to make them a little specific so people, you know, can kind of follow your story with whatever that, you know, little niche might be. And it's exciting. And you're going to find like people that love those kind of different things. Like maybe you go vintage shopping in every city. It doesn't mean that your whole TikTok page needs to be only vintage shopping because, you know, people don't have one interest. That's not like realistic. I think we all have multiple things we love, but try to like be specific in the things that you do love, if that makes sense.
Let's talk about something every girl wants. Healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin. And I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite. And honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com. Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off.
I've been telling you girls about Secret Nature gummies, and if ever a time to give them a try, that time is now. These are organic, farm-grown, never lab-made, ultra-premium CBD gummies, and from November 26th through 30th, when you buy more, you save more. Get 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and 40% off on orders of $150 or more. I have a Bliss gummy during the daytime for a clean, simple boost when I need a clear focus, and a Snoozers gummy when it's time to wind down and actually end the day. They seriously do the trick, and best of all, their philosophy is simple. Great ingredients, real botanicals, nothing extra.
Grab 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code for the girls. That's secretnature.com, code for the girls.
The holidays are right around the corner, and if you still have names that haven't been crossed off your list yet, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal. Never rushed, never last minute, Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are even crafted by independent artists and small businesses. I found the perfect customizable gift for the foodies in my life and immediately added to cart. It's a personalized family recipe serving board that you could either hand write and scan a recipe onto or type it on, and it is so special. And of course, I had to get myself a little something too, because I found this Christmas movie play-along card game, and I cannot wait to play this on our Christmas movie marathon nights, which you know we will have plenty of. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from parents to teens and kids, from book lovers to football fans. All of your family and friends are covered. And when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you feel good about where your money goes. With every purchase you make, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/forthegirls. That's uncommongoods.com/forthegirls for 15% off. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
Yeah. For me, as a creator, what I struggled with was something similar to this. Like I was always on social media, like we just discussed from the beginning, but on TikTok, I was a little later to the game. I didn't start TikTok during like the COVID time when like everybody was going on there. Quite frankly, I thought TikTok was just like dances. And I was like, I'm like, I might be going crazy in COVID, but I'm not that crazy. Like, I'm not going to start dancing online. So I was very late to the game and I started to do TikTok in 2022.
Oh, wow.
And I was like really behind, but I was in the trenches of being single and going on all these dates. And from my very first video, like the first video, which I feel like this used to happen quite often on TikTok, but my first video got 1 million views on it. And then from there, every video was like 800,000, 900,000 comments out the wazoo, like engagement. I was like, I couldn't have paid for this. Like, this was like the dream, you know? And I was single and like sharing like my dating experiences and like all that. And it was like my very real life stuff. Anyway, long story short, once I got into a relationship and then like my life changed, I'm also 30 now, you know, at the time, 2022, I was, I don't know, 25, 26, however old I was, but now I'm 30. And just like my life changed, you know, and a lot of my audience really fell off. I've had plenty of comments of people being like, I miss your single girl content. Like, I'm like, oh, sorry. I'll break up with my fiance. Like, what would you like me to do about this? Like, so, you know, I feel like I kind of struggle with that as well of like, what do I want to put out there? What do people want to see? And where's the middle ground? How do I do what I want to do while also entertaining my audience? Because I built my audience on something that is no longer my life, unfortunately. So, well, fortunately for me, I guess, unfortunately for them, but like, you know what I mean? So I kind of struggle with that because that audience really is not there anymore.
My first thought would be to give advice to people looking at date and like how you were able to find your fiance, you know, like people love watching your dates, but now you could share of like how you got there and like the things you think led you to this point of like actually finding someone and what people need to, you know, look out for when they're dating or like red flags they can stay away from. Like you can still lean into that without, you know, having to go on the dates and break up with your fiance.
Right.
And then you can lead into like all of the relationship content, like, you know, talk about getting engaged or like taking those steps. Like your audience will age with you. And that's sometimes I forget those things too, or you'll bring in new people that are in that phase of their life. So I wouldn't get to, you know, sometimes I think we overthink it a bit. I even do it.
100%. Yeah.
But when you think about it, like everyone is going to kind of age with us too.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And of course I do. I mean, I do all the things. And then there's sometimes too where I'm also like, I'm sick of talking about this. I feel like I'm saying the same thing 500 times. So like, there's just, I just think social media, like it's kind of, I'm sure you've heard that saying where people say now, like every video is like getting a lottery ticket. And it's like, you just like, you wait till you find that one thing that like works, that one thing that hits. So that's kind of, I'm like testing a lot of waters right now. I'm seeing like, cause I am in the wedding planning season and I'm trying, you know, I post all of that stuff, but I'm also trying to not make it my entire personality, even though like guilty, it kind of is. And yeah, sticking to all the things while being like, okay, what's going to be my thing here? So, you know, I just think it's, yes, I'm growing, but social media is also like growing and changing. And like, we gotta just like grow with the growth, you know?
Yeah. I think whatever's on your mind that day, like talk about it on TikTok. Like TikTok's such a like conversational platform and people just want to like hear about your life and what's going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever that is. But
speaking of that, perfect segue there. I love that you just set that up for me. Speaking of sharing your life, vulnerability and all that. Obviously, as we addressed, you went on Love Island, and a big part of that was that of building that platform was winning the show and leaving with, you know, a boyfriend. I'm assuming you left as boyfriend or girlfriend, right? Sometimes it's like, do you have the title or like on the show? Yeah, you know what I mean?
I did leave as boyfriend or girlfriend, but that was 6 years ago.
Right, right, right. Okay. So like you left the show with a boyfriend. The reason why I'm like asking is because I know like on Love Island, it's always like a very big deal to make it,
no, it
like,
is.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
But how much of that after the show on social media did you share? Like, did you share about your relationship? Did you share about the breakup? Like all of that stuff I know was very front facing because it was on the show. But then once you're out of the show, it's your real life. So were you really open about that breakup and everything?
I would say like the relationship, like when we got back, we were like open. I mean, this is also like 6 years ago, so I'm not trying to like stir anything up. Like we're both,
of course,
now, but, I mean, it's different. You kind of learn someone backwards on the show. Right. And then you come off and you're like meeting their family and their friends and, you know, the way they live their life. And it's different for a lot of people than how you're in the villa, you know, like you have producers waking you up in the morning and putting you to bed at night. Like, and you can, you're doing what they tell you to do all day. So you really don't know people as well as you think you do on the show. And then you get back and it's different. I think that's why most people from reality TV break up is because, you know, you don't have all those outside world things happening. So it's just very different. But I would say the breakup, we just like posted that we broke up. That didn't give too many details. It was honestly kind of complicated and, you know, a lot of other like outside random factors and stuff. But I mean, wish him the best. Hope he's
of
doing
course. I mean, listen, you're an engaged lady. You're like engaged. We're not regressing here. I mean from a content standpoint of like, you know,
yeah.
Like sharing your personal details online. I'm assuming doing that in the public eye is not easy.
Yeah, it wasn't. We posted a statement and I like overnight lost like 11,000 followers. It was crazy because people loved watching you for your relationship. So then you realize that people like didn't like you as much for just you. They just liked your relationship they saw on the show. And I think that was like hard for me to deal with because I was like, what do you mean? I thought you guys all like liked me and supported me. And now all of a sudden you don't just because I'm not with that person. So that was like, I think, an interesting takeaway.
That's very interesting. That's weird to like lose the followers over breaking up. Yeah, that's actually quite bizarre.
No one did anything wrong either. There was no like cheating involved. There was nothing like that. So it was very like weird to see that kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
And they get crazier, I would say, every year. The fans are more and more invested. Like, I'm very worried, you know, for the mental health of a lot of these Islanders that come off, because like, I know how I felt and I had not only like the most angel edit, but like mild breakup and everything that it's like, oh my God, if people came for me, like I can't imagine what that feels like for these other people. And it's just getting crazier and crazier, especially with TikTok this year. It's been nuts. Like my whole TikTok, Twitter, threads, Instagram feed is like, everyone's watching Love Island and everyone's got opinions. So it's like, everyone be nice. These are real people.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not into that. Like, I miss back in the day, like, so I also was on a reality show season one back in the day. Like, wait, even longer ago than you. This was like 8 years ago. And back like then. What'd you say?
We have like the same story, like everything.
I know, it's actually freaking me out. And I'm going to say something else that's going to freak you out a little more as well, because you're going to be like, your mind's going to be blown. But what I was going to say was, Yes. So back in the day, and back then, like, so we filmed in 2017. So like, yes, there was social media, but not like this. Right. And like, I miss just like, I just remember just being a girl. Like, I was just like a girl. Like, no one, there was nothing like, oh, she did this or she did that or whatever. Like, going into the show, like, you don't even get to just like be a girl. You don't get to just like do your thing. Like, you're already going into it, like, with all of these people picking apart every little thing, who's coming forward and saying she did this, she did that, he did this, he did that. I'm like, oh my God, like, this is scary, because these people can go home and like be severely depressed after this, like getting their phone back and seeing this, like, it's very scary for them.
Yeah, no, it's terrifying. Wait, what show were you on?
I was on season one of X on the Beach, US.
Love it. <That's>
funny. Pretty tragic. Similar thing. It was like X on the Beach UK was really big, and then they brought it to the US.
No judgment. I love a reality TV moment. Like, I'm all here for it. Like, I tried to
be. I was 22, so I'm like, I give myself grace.
Dude, I love it. I mean, like, what a fun adventure. Like, I think. No, I'm so here for that. But yeah. No, I was talking with my fiance, and I wonder if you can kind of think of this too, because, you know, we're 30 now, so we're not, you know, we don't have like the young 20s mentality of like, oh my God, this is so fun. Oh my God, you're going to be all these TikTok followers. But what is, like, for someone, the upside compared to like the downside of going on Love Island in today's day and age, like this season? What are the upsides and what are the downsides? Because for some reason, I feel like the downside really, like, you, okay, so upside, I would say, take someone from a small town that, you know, maybe like doesn't have an amazing degree or like really good, you know, a white collar job or like crazy life path. Like, there's a lot of upside to go on Love Island, right? Like, you could literally change your entire life. But let's say someone that's like a doctor or someone that's working, you know, corporate, you go on Love Island, you get a bad edit, or you're doing some of these challenges, like that baseball challenge they had, like, that's going to affect, like, if you don't get all these followers, like, if you don't make it far in the show and you can't take that influencer path, you know, like, I don't know if you're really setting yourself up for, like, a lot of upside, right? And then, like, the hate, too, you have to be, like, prepared for that, you know, you could easily get a bad edit, like, Jeremiah probably has no clue he's getting a terrible edit this season. There's a lot of downside to, you know, the audience watching, so, like, you almost have to really weigh your upsides and downsides before going on a show like this now, with, you know, the public being as like wild as they are with it.
I know. You know what? It's like, if you're looking for problems, you're going to find them. So if you're digging and you're like finding all these things, like, yeah, there's something about everybody, you know, and on top of it, like, they don't have access to the world. So they can't, they're not even aware of it. They can't like even try to like, okay, so-and-so like doesn't like I did this, you know, whatever. Okay, so let me change up my persona. They don't, they're only like digging themselves further and further into the hole. And I'm like, oh no, like it's so bad.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. And it's like, let's say too, you know, you think your upside is, you know, all the followers, but if you don't get, you know, past that like threshold, the reality TV, if you can't transition well off of TV, like if you don't have, you know, moves you're going to make beyond the show, then like you're going to fall off as an influencer or a creator. And then it's like, what then, you know? Yeah. And like, you're going to have to really know how to like make those correct moves post show, even right. If you have good at it, you know, good at it, bad at it, whatever, to make that like longevity in the creator world, if that's what you want to do, you know, with that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I hope you have a plan to go back to whatever job it was before, and that they're going to be okay with you, you know, ass clapping on.
Like, no, it's so bad. I, whatever episode that was, maybe it was 3 or 4 when they were going around the bases and all that. I was like, I like record myself like doing like my live reactions, and I was like covering my eyes. I'm like, this is uncomfortable. Like, I can't, it's too aggressive. It's too much.
I'm like, it's fine, but just have a plan for yourself, right? Like, if you work corporate, you know, like, I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, I know. No, you're so right. It's so true.
Corporate is real. So that's just kind of where I'm like, maybe I'm too old now where I'm just like too worried about it, but.
I know.
I don't know. I just think a food for thought, like.
Yeah.
Versus the downside of reality TV, and then just really having a plan when you get home. And I used to have a podcast for anyone listening where I would review Love Island season, so I and other reality TV stars, so I really was able to see when people would succeed and not, and I could tell pretty easily, like, or right away, like who's going to be able to make it, you know, in the creator world, if that's something they want and who's not. And I've coached a lot of people too. And I've counseled a lot of ex-reality TV people.
Interesting.
Like, they should make beyond whatever show they do. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It's funny that I've been a go-to for that. And people know throughout the industry, like I've had a lot of people in The Bachelor speak highly of working with me. And then I get other people from The Bachelor reaching out. And then I get Farmer Wants a Wife and Temptation Island people reaching out. And it's great that I kind of have that rep in the industry too, because I really do have a lot of knowledge and like the moves that you should be making post show to make sure you can see on social media if that's something you want to pursue.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Speaking of your fiance and just in general, having, you know, become a figure in the public eye, I said to you, I was like, oh wait, I have something even crazier that I'll throw at you too. We got engaged a week apart. No. I got engaged December 14th.
No. And you,
I saw December 22nd. Yeah. As I was like looking through your stuff, I was like, oh, she's engaged, thinking like it was a long time ago for some reason. I don't know why. And then I clicked on it and it was December, you know, 2024. I was like, oh my God, we got engaged a week apart.
That's hilarious.
I know. It's like kind of funny. Everything you're saying, I'm like, oh yeah, same. And then this too. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to blow your mind with that one.
I know.
But I'm curious what dating was like, whether it was just like in general, like after the show or, you know, specifically when you met him, like meeting someone who's not into social media, reality TV world. Like, of course, I looked on his page because like, let me see, maybe he's an influencer, but I don't think that he is from what I saw. So how did you navigate that? Like, you know, essentially just dating and being like, yeah, and by the way, like I'm also like a public figure.
Yeah. So I will say post show, it was tough because people loved seeing me with the person from the show. So anyone that I dated was not going to be good enough for my audience because they were like, no, we want the guy from the show. No, we want the guy from the show. And I'm like, you guys, you can't be mean to everybody that I date. My first like official boyfriend I had since the show got like torn apart online. It was awful. It caused a lot of problems in the relationship. The relationship had its own problems in itself, but it definitely made it a lot worse. And it was hard too, because that person, and there's like no right and wrong with this, but had very strict like family values and the way they saw social media. So like what was acceptable to post and what wasn't. And then also the idea of like, oh, if you're on family vacation, you can't be on your phone, you know, you need to be present. But I'm also like, that's my job. And if, you know, I don't show up, who is? So it was just like really hard. And I realized I needed to date someone that, you know, was okay with that and understood it. And my fiance owns his own company. So he, you know, we both kind of understand we operate under the fact of like, even if it's, you know, Christmas Eve, if something's happening, like it's on us to fix it. You know, like you need to be there and show up for you, like when you own your own business, because there's no one else that's going to do it for you. So it's kind of nice that we have that mutual understanding of like work stuff is like important, because it's like our, you know, it's ours, not like a company that we work for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course. How involved is he with your career or your social media, if at all? Like, is he in any of your content? Does he shoot your content? Like, is he even involved in it at all? Oh, wait, why are we laughing? What am I missing?
Because he's so trained. Like, I'm like, does he? I'm like, he's like got a side job doing it and helping me with it. He's so cute about it though. I've honestly never thought I would find someone so supportive. He's like built me a creator desk in my room, like from IKEA from scratch. Like it was so cute, like making sure it was big enough to fit like my makeup mirror and my computer. You know, he's been really great with like being in videos with me, wanting to, you know, like, oh, you should do this idea, or like, oh, we should make a video like this for your page. Helps me write my captions when I'm stuck. Like he's very supportive of it, and I'm very appreciative of that. It's really cool.
And he seems like he's a creative, like in a sense himself.
Yeah. So he runs a sports betting app. So he's very, you know, like watching his users and how, you know, they give him feedback. So he's able to give me a lot of feedback with how I handle, you know, my community and how I'm building it. And, you know, they're not users for me. They're like community members, I guess, but it is cool for him to give me like input of like his company and how it's working and how he has that like relationship with people that are, you know, using his platform, and able to give me insight. So it's really cool to like have that, like opinion looking out for me too.
Yeah. I just recently watched, I'm not a frequent watcher of Call Her Daddy, but I just watched one of her latest episodes, and she was talking about how So she's married now. I don't know if you know, but like her husband now, back when they were dating, you know, she would like share stories and stuff on the podcast. And it was like not good because it would, you know, people would bring these, like tell him like, oh, Alex was pretty much talking about like your sex life. Like Alex was talking about this and that. And like, this is someone who was like maybe just a boyfriend at the time. Like, you know, they weren't engaged yet. They weren't even 100% sure. Like, this is like my lifelong partner. You know, it was just like, they were going out, whatever. And she was like sharing, you know, the information. And she said like, you know, over the years since then, like people questioned why I don't post him anymore, why I don't share him anymore. And like, it not that it became like a problem per se in their relationship, but he basically drew the line. It was like, okay, like enough is enough. Like, I can't keep having like, she was like, gave an example of like his dad called him and was like, oh, I listened to Alex's podcast and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, this is just too much. So I feel like there's that line, like, you know, your partner can be supportive and can be involved, but like, I don't think that you necessarily, I think it goes back to what I was saying before that. So TikTok has made everyone just like so open. Like even yeah. I look back and kind of cringe when I see like, cause like on like my TikTok, like time hop or whatever, when it comes yeah. up, like what I posted yeah, on this right, day, right, it'll right. be like, I just got home from a date. And I'm like, so he said this and he said, and I'm like, I legit shared someone's real life information. Like what was wrong with me? But you know, now when it's like your serious partner or whatnot, you're like, okay, maybe it's best that I protect this. Like I don't have to share like the ins and outs of my relationship and my sex life.
Yeah. No, I definitely get roasted for my digital footprint because unlike you, I did do a lot of the dancing on TikTok during COVID. And I mean, you know what? It blew up my page. It, you know, went crazy. It's so funny. But when I, at the time though, I had started dating, you know, the first guy post Love Island, he was not about that. So I quickly pivoted away from it. But I always wonder if I had stuck with it. Because I saw the track of like the way I was growing pretty exponentially doing it. And I remember being neck and neck with like Olivia Ponton and just watching us both grow the same. And now I sometimes see like, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, if I had just kept going with it where I would be today, if I didn't stop and didn't listen to somebody. But at the same time, like, you know, maybe I, you know, should have left that digital footprint where it was at. I get those memories of it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I'm not good at dancing. Like I'm a terrible dancer. I'm like, nobody better go look these up because they're frightening. But I get what you're saying completely. Like at what point, you know, do you kind of just like pivot away from it? Like, but like I said, you know, we all get older, our lives change, our content's going to change and that's okay.
Yeah, no, it's so true. It really is so true. Okay. If you could pick one like major takeaway, one big lesson that like you've learned throughout your career and just like everything, I guess like post show, like up until now, like whether it be like with your social media, with your content club, just anything that you feel like you'd really want to be your main message for the girls to take away from this episode, especially those who want to become successful in the world of content creation and social media, what would that piece of advice be?
I'm going to give two. I'm going to give one that's very business oriented, and it's that everything is always going to be changing. And so like, please try your best to adapt to the new changes and don't ever get like so stuck in your ways, or you're not going to evolve with social media. Like you want to be able to move through platform. Like there's always going to be new platforms. There's always going to be different types of content. Like everything's always going to continue to evolve. So just be really cautious and like, try your best to just adapt as things change, or you're going to fall behind. So just like always be open to changes and adapting to like whatever's new or features or, you know, the way video style content's going to change. And that's going to like really set you up for a lot more success than if you get super stuck in a certain way of posting. And that's like my number one, like business advice for kind of like, especially how fast we're seeing everything move right now. But in terms of just like overall, like what I want people to know my messaging is that like, if you want something and you're dreaming big for something, like go for it. Right. Like I said, me and you, you know, we're uploading photos on Facebook to what we're doing now. Like if you want something, like you can get there if you want it bad enough. You just need to put yourself out there and like give it a try and just do it. And no one's going to like do it for you. You just have to want it bad enough and it can be yours if you just really put yourself out there and try it. And you never know, and you're not going to know unless you do it. So you might as well just like try, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is so true. Like you are the only person in your way. Like that's it. There's no one else who can stop you. Even if someone's trying to, like at the end of the day, like you make the decision, you make the choice to press record, to press post. So Right? Yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, like follow your dreams. Like I can't believe I was able to achieve like the things that I have been able to. And I'm like so proud of like pushing myself to get there and all the like chances I took on things. And a lot of things didn't work, but a lot of things did. And it's like, just do it because you just don't know.
Yeah, it's so true. I love that. That is a great way to end this. Where can all of the girls connect with you, and find you online?
Okay, so my personal accounts are all eWebz. It's eWebzz, you know, for everything, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. But my content club, if you want to come join the community, promise you'll love it. It's so awesome what I've built. Like, I know I'm speaking highly of it, but all my students do as well. Like, I'm really
confident. You got to have the confidence.
I'm honestly really proud of it. it's ElizabethMarieSocial.com. My name, my middle name, social.com / content club.
Amazing.
I have an Instagram page too for it, Elizabeth Marie Social, where I just highlight all my students in the community too and like projects they're working on.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. This was so much fun.
Oh my God. Thanks for having me. This was awesome. I can't wait to go through your Instagram page and TikTok page and find more weird similarities with everything. So congratulations to you getting engaged too. I like forgot to say it earlier. And then I was like thinking, I was like, shoot, I forgot to say congratulations when she said it.
No, of course. Thank you and same to you. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out. Because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
Let's talk about something every girl wants: healthy, glowing skin that looks and feels good. And that's where Dionys Goat Milk Skincare comes in. I was introduced to Dionys earlier this year when I visited their farm, and I got to test out all kinds of products, from hand creams to body lotion, skincare, and their new lip masks, just to name a few. After I went to the farm, I learned that goat milk is loaded with vitamins and nutrients, which is so nourishing for your skin, and I also learned that we share the same pH as goats, which is why Dionys' products moisturize so well and never leave a greasy feel. I've been using and loving the goat butter lip mask, the vanilla bean being my favorite, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Everyone's always asking what I use on my lips, and there's truly nothing like it. It gives you the softest, most hydrated lips ever, and it actually lasts, unlike every other lip balm and mask I've tried before that I constantly have to reapply. But what I especially love about Dionys is that it's clean, cruelty-free, and designed to be simple. Plus, it's women-founded and women-led, and if there's one thing I've made clear on For the Girls, it's that we support the girls. These women know their stuff, and I love everything they do. So if you want to give your skin a little extra love today, check out Dionys Goat Milk Skincare. You can find them at DionysGMSkincare.com. That's DionysGMSkincare.com.
Use code FTG20 to save 20% off site-wide. Again, that's code FTG20 to save 20% off.